800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show, and we are spotlighting our Secret Santa this hour. You know, Secret Santas are individuals across this country who do good things without too many people knowing about it for some of our less fortunate or just people who need to be thought of at this time of year. One of them is a 75-year-old guy, lives in Ventura, California, and I want to make sure that I'm pronouncing his name. Janice, you have his last name, don't you? Berardi, Mr. Berardi. Alf, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on behalf of the many World War II widows. Thank you for having me on your program this evening.
And you've been giving away personally, Alf, hundreds of dollars every year to the widows of World War II veterans?
Phil, since 1997, when we started our Secret Santa program, we've been benefiting hundreds of widows, women whose husbands died recently and were veterans of the Second World War, and we have given away almost $10,000 to many of these women. It's something that I've done since the passing of my own wife 3 years ago, and we're happy to do it. Our veterans, the veterans of World War II, are dying at around the rate of 3,000 a day as they get older, and they leave behind their widows, some of whom are not taken care of as well as they should, and some who could use a little extra money.
So, Alf, let me ask you. You go to the homes of these ladies who have been widowed. Their husbands served in the Second World War.
Yes, my relationship, Joyce Fleming is a good example of the women that we helped. She was a widow of an Army Ranger who survived D-Day, Robert Fleming. He lived to be 75 years of age. He died in 1999. We met Joyce, and she's been the beneficiary of our Secret Santa.
And you give what, $100?
We give $100 every Christmas season to these ladies, yes.
And this is your own money, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
And I imagine you're comfortably retired?
I am comfortably retired. I was in the heating and plumbing business in Connecticut before I came to California.
And you've moved here and retired here?
Yes, I have.
Well, I'll tell you, $100 to each one of these women, and that helps them, doesn't it? It helps them.
Well, it helps buy groceries. It helps to keep the heating on. It helps to keep the electricity going. We've got to remember our veterans. We got to remember the men who fought for this country in World War II and lived to a ripe old age, and then they pass on and they leave their widows, they leave the women, and I think we should remember these men through these women.
So what do you go to the homes?
Well, what we do, Phil, let me tell you something. We go to the homes, we give the money to these ladies. Some of them cry, they're very grateful. They want to make you dinner, they want to wash your clothes. It's really funny. This is how grateful a lot of these women are. Two Christmases ago, I mentioned Joyce. She was the widow of an Army Ranger. I met Joyce coming around and giving her money. She was so grateful that we became very good friends. And we developed a relationship out of that, which I think was respectful and respectful of her husband's memory.
You had a relationship with her?
I did. Yes, I did. It was more than friends and playing cards.
Were you intimate?
We were lovers. Yes, we were.
So you became close to this lady whose husband had fought in World War?
Well, we did, and it was a very respectful thing.
Are you still with her? Are you planning marriage? Or
No.
I just wondering, because I know that your wife is gone. So this World War II widow, whose husband died, you're still with her?
No, we moved on. She thanked me, and I didn't want to take advantage. All she was doing was thanking me.
She was thankful for
the $100.
All right. So
and I said, Joyce, you've thanked me enough. We went out for a few months, and
this relationship that you had with her, and I don't want to focus on this.
No, we there's so many women that we helped, Phil.
No, I know, but do you think this was her way of saying thanks to you for the?
Yeah, I think when someone has given you a gift, the gift of money, you feel grateful. I remember Joyce because this year, I began the Secret Santa program, and I will go to the different communities where the widows live and give them the $100 bills, and then you'll see maybe they are grateful, maybe they aren't. And if she isn't grateful, if, for instance, we don't become friends inside of a week, then I get curious, I'll go back, and I respectfully ask for the money back. And after a time...
Why do you do that?
Excuse me, Phil?
Why do you ask for the money back when they're not grateful?
No, I think they need to show some gratitude. $100 is a month's worth of groceries, as I was saying. I'm just asking for gratitude.
Well, okay, now these are the widows of men who fought in World War II, have now passed on.
And we want to do something for those men.
And you want to do something, so you give their widows $100, but if they don't show gratitude, you go back and ask for the money back.
Gratitude,
Mr. Berardi, it sounds like the gratitude you're looking for is sex.
No, it's not sex, sir. No, sir.
All right, I don't mean to be offensive.
Well, it's the warmth of a physical relationship. I lost my wife. She lost her husband. I've just given her $100 to help her through the winter months, as I've been doing for World War II widows for 2 years. I'm just trying to see if she's grateful and cares about what her husband did. Because if she cared about what her husband did, she'd be happy to give me the proper gratitude. But a lot of these women don't care.
So this is about the woman...
Yeah, if she is grateful for her husband fighting in World War II, and he's now passed on, then when I give her the $100, she should show me that gratitude. Let me tell you...
All right, I got to give our phone number out. Hold on for a minute. The Secret Santa program, he gives $100 to the widows of World War II veterans, but they need to show gratitude. Is that what I'm understanding there, Janice? Is that what he told you when you booked this? All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Alf Berardi. He's from Ventura, California. He has a Secret Santa program where he gives $100 to the widows of World War II veterans who have since passed on. You just said something interesting. You said that if the woman recognized the great things her husband did, she'd be friends with you?
Right. Well, Phil, what happens is this. So many of these World War II widows, they found out that their husbands, when they were in the service, and I don't want to, this is a bad thing to say, a lot of these guys were involved with prostitutes over in Europe and over in Japan.
Right.
The wives find out about this, and wouldn't give their husband sex for years. And then the guy dies. And now they feel bad about cutting him off. And so they meet me, and it's an opportunity.
An opportunity for what? So
that they can show the intimacy that they should have shown to him. The worst thing a woman can do, the worst thing that a woman can do, is to cut her husband off from sex. And I am a very tender lover. My wife told me for years I was a very tender lover.
Yeah, but you're saying, in other words, if the woman feels bad about her husband dying and not giving him sex and not showing him gratitude for his service in World War II, she should give you sex.
No, you're making it sound as if all I want is sex. I don't want...
Well, this is what we're talking about here. You give her $100, and she needs to show gratitude.
Yes.
Is that sex? Because that's what it sounds like. You give her a...
No, it's, Mr. Henry, this is to show respect for our veterans and for the men that died.
For the men that died? The World War II veterans that died?
Yes.
So you give money to their widows?
Yes, we do.
But you said they have to show gratitude.
I think anybody wants to be thanked. In the case of Joyce Fleming, she thanked me in a very special way. She thanked me for 3 months. It was 3 months, 3 to 4 months, and it was great. And she said, I said, well, you don't need to thank me anymore. I broke it off with her. She was getting a little too close. She had just lost Bob, and I didn't think...
So she was falling in love with you?
I don't want to say that.
Well, you said you had to break it off because she was getting too close. All right, let me take a phone call. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Kim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Well, the first 30 seconds I listened to this guy, I respected him.
Yeah.
I thought he had a great thing going.
Wait, we have no respect for you, Mr. Burrell.
You have no respect for these women. You are a user.
No, ma'am.
You want credit for giving money for sex?
No.
That's outrageous.
No, ma'am.
You're totally disrespectful of them and their husbands.
The women want to show gratitude for the money that we give them.
Then let them say thank you and not have to do anything else.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with them just saying thank you?
Phil, that would be fine, but this one wanted to do more.
No, no, no.
You sound like you're so hot up, you got to pay for it. That's outrageous. You're disrespectful to them.
Wait a second. You got to stop doing that and get any credit at all.
Keep your money to yourself and keep your hands to yourself.
Ma'am, you're disrespecting our veterans. My father was a veteran.
He would never in his life think to do that to any woman. He would have given the money. He would have given the money with no expectation in return thank you.
I respect your father and the great service that he did, and I would, you know, give your mother $100. All I ask is that she...
And you wanted to sleep with her for it. Forget it.
She would take it from you in a heartbeat,
and if she had nothing,
she wouldn't take your money
if she knew that's what you expected.
These women feel
that. I think that these women who you're giving to now, you know what? Now that they know, now that you're out of the closet with what you need in return,
I have to give your money back to you. Shut up, you're a jerk. I'm a very tender lover, and I was a very tender lover to my wife for 43 years. Now, these women feel they have a debt to pay to their late husbands, because they cut them off from sex when they found out they'd been with prostitutes. And so I...
So you allow them to express their sexuality to you because they didn't do it with their husbands who they thought were with prostitutes?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. When you booked this guest, Janice, forgive me for a moment, folks, did she tell you this? Or did he say that that was not true? All right, 1-800-449-8686. His name is Alf Berardi. He gives $100 to each to the widows of World War II veterans every Christmas whose husbands have since passed on. At least in a couple of cases, in exchange for the $100, they had sexual relationships. He calls it gratitude, and he says it's got nothing more to do, but that the women sleep with him because they feel guilty for cutting their husbands off from sex because they thought that they were with prostitutes during the war. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking to Alf Berardi. Alf gives money to the widows of World War II veterans. Now, these are guys that didn't die in the war, right?
No, these are men who just recently passed on. They lived a long life. I wanted to say something, Mr. Henry. I resent the idea that I'm giving the money to these women for sex. The fact is that my wife and I had a very healthy relationship.
Well, you just said the fact that you give $100 and you want them to show gratitude.
But what if they want to show their gratitude through sex?
What if they want to show their gratitude through sex? You said you give these World War II widows $100, and if they don't show gratitude, you respectfully ask for the money back.
My wife told me that I was a great lover, and for 43 years... May God rest his soul. She always felt I was a very good lover. She used to say, Alf, Marona Mia, Santa Lucia, you're the best lover. You make me feel like $1 million. So when I say to a woman whose husband was in World War II, here's $100. I'm a great lover. I'm a very tender lover.
You're telling him that?
Mr. Henry, you got to understand it.
No, you're saying this to these women. I'm a great lover. Here's $100. Have sex with me.
No, I do not say that. I say that out of respect for their husbands.
They should have sex with you.
That we should make love.
That they... Why?
Because these women cut their husbands off. On account of they thought they had syphilis.
man. 1-800-449-8686. Maureen, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
This gentleman sounds like he's a complete scam artist. And if he is giving any money away, let me have my minute, okay? I've been holding a long time. You sound like a lunatic, and I don't believe you're giving 5 cents to anybody.
This is a perfect example
of elder abuse if you are giving anybody any money
and
expecting something in return. That's not a charity. You don't have any kind of a charity.
I give these
just
women...
You like to hear yourself talk
are
and
you
talk
giving
about
them
yourself.
Are you giving them $100?
Yes, I am.
In exchange for sex?
I want to know the name of the charity so that we can report him.
It's called a Secret Santa. I'm the Secret... I do it with my neighbors. What do you mean?
Okay, that's great. We're going to look into this, and we're going to report you to elderly abuse.
And because you don't want an old lady having
it.
I'm a great lover.
It's against the law to give money to people and expect sex in return, and don't try to pretend that it's anything but
that. In other words, you don't like these women to be happy that they have a great lover as old women.
You know, as a typical woman abuser that you sound like,
you're very liberal. You're very liberal, aren't you?
No, I'm not liberal at all.
You sound like a liberal.
No, everything, I am not liberal. I am very, very conservative.
Everything's abuse. Everything's abuse.
That's right.
If you spit on the sidewalk,
an
it's abuse.
That's
if you,
right.
If you,
you are using World War II and taking advantage of that great war and what... The wonderful
That's
men
right.
who gave
That's
their
right.
lives.
They were great men.
And I'd like to know what unit you were in. Let's hear about your war experiences.
I was not in the war at that time.
Of course not. I knew that.
I bet you
were. You probably never served in the armed forces.
At the time, I was. You know something? I made a lot of women happy in my life.
You?
Because I'm considered to be a very great lover.
I'm really glad that you compliment yourself.
It's healing for these women to sleep
with me. I'm going to look into this charity, the Secret Santa.
I bet you wish this was the 70s, you liberal.
And turn you in. Okay?
You're a Democrat. You sound like a Democrat.
And you should.
That doesn't want nobody
whatever
to have
my political
nobody.
Persuasion is has nothing to do with the fact
I bet you wish
that
it was
you
the
are
70s.
Taking advantage of women who... really need our help and support.
They do get their help. I get
like
their help.
Not like you taking advantage of them.
What's wrong with me providing them with healthy...
You are nothing more than a rapist, okay?
What a liberal. I'm a rapist, yeah. Everything is rape. Everything's
That's
abuse.
Right.
I bet you, Maureen, if I went to your house and I fought it...
called your mother up and said, here's $100 because we feel so sorry for you, and by the way... How about we go out and have a little fun in my car? How would you like that
if
for your mother?
If he was a good lover, I would appreciate him doing that.
You are such a liar.
No.
You're a liar about your
no,
charity.
No, ma'am.
You
oh, I lie because I don't
away.
Agree with you?
You've
because
never served in the armed
you.
Forces, and I'd be willing to bet you're not even any part of any charity.
And,
you'd just like
your,
to hear yourself
and what unit did your father?
Line.
What unit did your father serve in?
My father served in the Air Force in World War II, and my husband is a multi-decorated Green Beret.
All right, then let me ask
you
this.
In Vietnam.
If your husband died, wouldn't you want a man to be a good lover for you after he died?
You know something.
Wouldn't you want a man to give it to you good?
Would you watch how you're talking to this lady?
No, but after,
you know what?
If her husband died, wouldn't she want a man to give it to her good?
He couldn't hurt anybody's feelings.
Is your mother
is a liar?
Is your mother
He's
still
full
alive?
Of crap. He hasn't given away 10
I gave away $10,000
to
these
widows.
You
haven't given away. You don't even have 10,000 pennies.
Why did she
moron.
Say to me
you,
that I was a great lover?
Why is time on the air, and why am I even bothering with
Does
you?
Does your husband
I'm
wear his beret? Does your husband wear his beret when he gives you his secret Santa?
I am
Santa?
Not listening to you.
Look at you, are a very rude
insulting,
man.
Insulting, rude
no.
moron.
No, this man, I give these
Good
women
night.
Money and she calls me insulting because I help women. And she sits there doing nothing. I wonder if her husband, the Green Beret, gives it to her decently. Because I'm a great lover. And I give when I give money to the women and they say, what can I do for you? I say, let me give it to you good.
1-800.
Is that it?
Hold it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We like to go out of our way on our program to honor people who have done something heroic, and especially since the events of 9/11. Steve Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, and he joins us on the line from Corona this evening to talk to us about an event in his life. And I know you gave some of the cursory details to my producer, Janice Ngaro, so let me just ask you, Steve, this is something that had to do with, you say you saved two lives, yours and your wife, correct?
That is correct, sir. And it's difficult for me to talk about myself, but...
Tell us what happened.
We've been at a Christmas party on last Friday night. My wife had had several wine drinks, I guess you call them a wine spritzer, and she'd had several of those, and I think about three or four glasses of stout, you know, what you want to call Christmas punch. So she'd had a lot of liquid. She's also a little intoxicated. And
it's going to happen at a Christmas party, huh?
Yes, sir, it will. It's going to happen at a Christmas party, exactly. I did have to help her out to the car, though, and I asked her, are you sure you don't need to use the bathroom? Because she'd had a lot of liquid, and we had quite a drive back. We were going from Pasadena to Corona.
How many miles is that?
I guess Pasadena to Corona is probably, I guess, about 30 miles or so. It's a good piece, and I asked my wife if she needed to use the toilet. She said no. She was singing, and she was intoxicated. I'm taking her out to the car, and she's singing that song about, what if God was one of us or something like that, and I'm helping her into the car.
All right, so your wife is drunk.
Well, I would...
Well, she's tipsy.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you've asked her, does she need to go to the bathroom, and she says no.
That is correct. And I remember I said a silent prayer to God. I said, please help us make it home without having to go to, for her to have to go to the bathroom, because if she has to go to the bathroom and we're driving through a very rough area of town, an area of town that the police may have identified as one that is a high crime area or a high risk area of crime, obviously at 1 o'clock in the morning, that's going to be a situation that's very dangerous for myself and for my wife.
I understand.
So it's very emotional for me to remember this.
You're doing very well, sir. Go ahead.
We're driving home. We're going through Pomona, California, and for your audience, I guess they don't know that that's kind of a rough neighborhood after 9 o'clock at night. There's certain gang activity, and it's high risk, it's high crime. Certain parts of Pomona, anywhere, high risk, high crime.
Okay.
And sure enough, as we're drawing, right as we hit the Pomona city limits, I'll never forget as long as I live. As long as I live, I heard her say, "I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go to the bathroom." I heard her say, "Honey, I gotta go," and I said, "Look where we are. There's no way. And on God's good green earth, that I'm pulling over." And I kept on driving, and she's rocking back and forth, and she's saying, "I have to go. I have to go." And she's getting angry, and now I realize that I'm in trouble. Pomona, California, Mr. Henry. After 9 o'clock at night, you might as well be standing on a street corner in Harlem, because there was no way I was going to pull over. And I told her that I couldn't do that.
All right, your wife needs to go to the toilet.
Yes, sir.
But you're in a very rough part of town. You say you're in Pomona, where there's a lot of gangs after 9 o'clock at night?
That is correct, yes, sir.
So what do you do? I mean, here's a woman who needs to go to the bathroom. Do you pull over?
Well, no, you're not going to pull. You're not going to pull over and have a woman going to the bathroom on the freeway. That's. I didn't want to do that. Plus, if we pulled off the side street, we got the same problem. So I told her, I gave her a, we had a soda pop can, and I said, if you can go in that. And I told her to put the can under there and control her bladder. Now, my wife has had three children, so you might as well ask the rain to stop falling because of that.
Okay, I got that, all right. So you give your wife a soda pop can?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did she go in that?
She did, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
But she got a large portion of it, got on the seat and everything else, but I had Scotch guarded the seat, but urine is acidic, so it eats right through the Scotch guard. Anyway, we got home, and she tells me to get my stuff and stay over at Roy's house, so she's thrown me out of the house.
Your wife threw you out.
That is correct, and I got thrown out of my own home after I saved my wife's life, and I probably saved my own life. So now I know what it's like to save someone's life and be a hero and have no one appreciate it.
You believe you saved your own life and you saved your wife's life by not pulling over in Pomona and letting your wife go to the bathroom because it's a rough neighborhood.
That is correct. And she told me that she was completely humiliated. But I said she was not humiliated. And she said, yes. I said, no, she was not, because she was peeing, but only in front of me. And I'm not going to tell, well, I mean, I'm telling people now, but I said I was not going to tell anybody. But now I have to tell people because I need to protect myself.
She was humiliated peeing into a can. You bet she's humiliated peeing into a can.
Mr. Henry, this is my wife.
Okay. What difference does that make?
I've seen my wife pee many, many times in the time that we've been married. I mean, that's a natural thing. Your wife's going to go, my wife's, of all the women I've ever known, my wife, she don't close no doors, nothing. She'll squat right down, just go while I'm standing there trying to take a shower or whatever. So that's what she does.
Okay. I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, married couples are that way with each other. But the fact is, you had your wife pee into a can in your truck.
Yes, I did.
And you're complaining that she peed all over your seats? I mean, sir, your wife, you look at women, you know, if you've been married any length of time, you've been around women any length of time. When they got to go, they got to go, man.
I understand that, but you can't pull over the side of the road. See, I knew this was going to happen.
What?
Nothing.
What? Tell me. What?
I knew you were going to take her side.
I'm not taking her side, okay?
I thought this is the program they said you were going to single out the heroes and stuff.
We do single out the heroes. Now, your friend Roy called us and said that you're a real hero for saving your life and your wife's life. You're telling me that you didn't pull over in Pomona. Had you pulled over in Pomona for your wife to go to the bathroom, what would have happened?
I probably would have been killed and her too.
By a gang?
Yes, sir.
So you're a hero because you kept on driving and you made your wife pee into a soda pop can.
I think that I made a prudent decision and a prudent judgment based upon the facts of the case. And I've called several TV and radio stations. I wrote a letter to the editor of the LA Times to explain what I did. And I want to let you know, and I want to let my wife know that I love her despite the fact that she ruined the interior of my truck. And the fact that I've been forced now to file a lawsuit.
Well, I read about your lawsuit, and I don't think you got a leg to stand on. You're going to sue your own wife for destruction of property because she peed in the inside of your truck. You made her do that.
I did that because we were... Why won't anybody listen to me?
You did it? Why?
I did that because there's a possibility we could have been attacked by gangs.
Let me give our phone number out here. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. His wife needed to go to the bathroom, but it was the middle of the night and they were in a rough part of town. He didn't want to pull over, so he made her pee into the...
I think you're focusing too much on that, sir. What I did do that saved our lives is I did not pull over.
All right, you didn't pull over, which you feel saved the life of yourself and your wife because it was a gang-infested area. Instead, you made her go in a can, a soda can.
That's correct.
And apparently it ruined the interior of your car. Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, 1-800-449-8686.
Just to interrupt, Mr. Hendry.
Go ahead.
I was afraid it might have been the last time my wife would ever urinate. And I just didn't want her to...
I understand that you were concerned about the safety of your wife, but I got to tell you something. You don't pull over, you make her go in a can, and then because she throws you out of the house for being humiliated, you're suing her for destruction of property, mental cruelty, and what's workman's comp?
I'm suing for workman's comp, yes, sir.
Why?
Because I can't use my truck to pick people up in. And I'm also suing the company that she works for, the Cayman Trophy Company, for giving her the wine spritzers on that.
The Cayman Trophy Company is the company your wife works for, and they fed her wine spritzers.
That is correct, yes, sir. I think you need to understand, Mr. Henry, that I feel like I did the very best thing that I could. I feel like I did the very best thing. I asked her if she had to go before we left the party. I asked her. She said, no, she did not. No, she did not. I said, you need to be sure. She said, yes, I'm sure. And then as soon as we get into a gang-infested territory, now all of a sudden she has to go. And I remember saying a quiet prayer. Please, God, don't make her have to urinate in a bad neighborhood. And sure enough...
Well, it looked like God didn't answer your prayers.
Well, I believe God did answer my prayers.
How?
By giving me the strength. He gave me the moral courage to make my wife go in a can. And then I was able to...
Look, I know you're very emotional about this.
You're damn right I'm emotional about it. And I have called all the TV stations and newspapers, too, and... nobody understands. And I thought you were doing the hero of the day.
Hey, look, at you know, when just because we're doing hero of the day...
Well, I'm not trying to draw any attention to myself.
No, I know you're... Well, if you're talking about the hero of the day, you called yourself heroic because you didn't pull over in a gang-infested neighborhood to let your wife go to the bathroom.
That's right. Yes, sir, that is right.
Well, the result is a lawsuit that I don't know that any judge is going to hear. 1-800-449-8686. This man's wife had to go to the bathroom. He said, do you need to go now because I don't want to stop in the middle of a gang-infested neighborhood? And she said, no, I don't. And then when they got to the gang-infested neighborhood, suddenly he's got to go to the bathroom. She's got to go to the bathroom. He didn't stop. Apparently she was humiliated by having to go into a can, and apparently she threw him out of the house. Now he's suing his own wife. And he feels he's the hero because he saved not only her life, he saved his life as well by not stopping there. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. On the line with Stephen Bozell, he apparently forced his wife to urinate in their car rather than pull over in a gang-infested area to let her use the bathroom, and you feel you did a heroic thing by saving your life and your wife's life by not pulling over in that area.
That is absolutely correct, sir.
All right, well, here's a question. Why didn't you escort your wife, pull over to an area where there was a restaurant, and escort her into the restaurant to use the bathroom?
Okay, because you can't do that. Women today have women's liberation. They don't...
Oh, come on. You're talking about the safety...
Mr. Hendry, I can tell you right now, I've been married for 15 years, and women today have the women's liberation, and they don't want to be escorted no place because it makes them look like they're not equal to men. Otherwise, I would have been happy to escort my wife, but she doesn't like...
Did your wife say, don't escort me to the bathroom?
She didn't say it in those words, but I know...
Well, then how do you know she wouldn't want it?
Because today's woman is all about the women's liberation movement, and they don't want no man taking their arm and opening up a door to take them.
Even if it means that possibly saving them from a gang.
That's right. That's how crazy they are. That's how crazy they are. That's why my only thing that I could do is to sue her.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Jennifer on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes,
how are you?
Good evening, ma'am.
My questions to Mr. Bozell, or my statements, are this. Myself being a woman, first of all, I take great offense to his comment with the women's liberation movement that women would not want to be escorted by a gentleman into a restaurant
they don't
or any other place to go to the bathroom.
To go to the
I find
don't want no
that
man going to the pure bathroom
hypocrisy, and I do not like to be stereotyped like that.
Well, that's the way it is, and I didn't
Maybe
make this
Maybe that's
world.
The way it is in Panoma. But it's definitely not the way it is in Sarasota.
Panoma.
So don't take all the women and group us together.
First of all, ma'am, the town is called Pomona, not Panoma.
Well,
secondly, you know how you women are. You don't want no man getting up when you walk in the room and all of that stuff. And
well,
if we're
don't
talking
generalize
about this,
me like that. I love
about
it when a man gets up when I walk into
yeah,
the room.
Okay, well,
I love it when he opens the door for me.
Well, I find that hard to believe. Women have to learn that their bladders don't rule the world. And what I try to do is I did the next best thing, and I think if it's a choice between squatting over a can and getting capped by some gangbanger, I think you'd agree, ma'am, that squatting over a can is not so humiliating as to save your life.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
I would have no issues
then why did my
with
wife,
being in a can.
Then why did my wife say that I humiliated her?
Well, there could be a couple
reasons. I think you humiliated
reasons.
Her.
Well, she was intoxicated. First off,
I didn't force her to drink. She drank on her own.
Oh, no, but you're not thinking rationally when you're intoxicated. So when you get home from this party and she's covered in urine, and I can just imagine just hearing the tone of your voice and the way that you speak about women, that you are going off upon this poor woman.
That's what I'm talking about. Women like you make it all my fault. If I'd escorted her to the bathroom, then you'd say that was anti-women because I escorted her to the bathroom and opened up doors and stuff. And you'd say that's anti-woman.
No,
yes,
you're missing my point.
No, you
what
ain't,
I'm
you
trying
ain't made
to
a point
say...
Yet. Women use urine to get what they want. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm in the middle. I could be in the middle of Kabul, in the middle of a carpet bombing situation. I got to go to the bathroom. I saved my wife from taking a cap in the ass from some homie, and what am I doing? I'm sleeping on the floor of my best friend's.
I totally support your decision to have her pee in a can.
Thank you. You're missing
the point that I'm trying to make.
What point are you trying to make?
What if she peed on your, whatever it's called, your bucket seats or your seat bench?
I got a Dodge. I got a Dodge Ram extended cab, 3500.
Okay.
I got leather seats that were Scotch guarded, and the urine ate right through the Scotch guard.
Okay. Is it worth your marriage? Is having urine worth your marriage?
All I'm asking is $50,000 for mental cruelty, because it was cruel.
What's cruel?
She peed on my seats. You don't call that cruel?
No.
I got people getting into my truck, and they're going, it smells like someone's underwear in here. And I have never in my life had anybody say that when they get in my truck. Never. Now my boss says, hey, Steve, you know it smells just like the crack of someone's underwear in here. And what am I supposed to say? My wife urinated in my truck? I don't think so.
Why not?
It's the truth.
You already humiliated her.
It's the truth. I mean, and...
I did not humiliate her. You know, that lady, is that lady still there?
No, we got to move on to another call.
You don't make no sense.
Well, whatever, okay? Here is Louie. Is it Luvia?
It's Luvia.
Luvia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Bozell, I think
you are
a really, really huge idiot, okay? Because, I mean, how could you let your wife pee in a can? Okay, so you're trying to save her life and all that, but
right.
Stop for a couple of seconds and let her use the bathroom.
Wouldn't you pee in a can rather than travel through some gang-infested area?
No, I would not pee in a can.
You'd stop and go to the bathroom.
Yes,
and
I would stop. If you are much of a man, you would protect your wife. You would protect your wife instead of making her pee in a can just to protect yourself. You know, you don't really care about her safety.
You just didn't
want to get out of the car.
You blend in and then
you're a wimp.
Do you blend in? Do you blend in a gang-infested neighborhood?
My God, oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Do I blend in
a gang-infested neighborhood?
What it means is, are you black?
Yes, I'm black.
Okay, you blend in. I don't blend in no gang-infested neighborhood. Okay. Well,
I am a young female, so what if
whatever,
I'm black?
Whatever, no homeboy is going to bother you.
Easily.
He ain't going to shoot no black woman. He's going to shoot a white woman.
How do you know this?
Let me ask you something.
You do not live in a black neighborhood.
I know right now that a black gang member is going to cap a white woman squatting on the sidewalk before he shoots one of his own people. That's for damn sure.
I hope to God your wife leaves you after this, because you are the biggest idiot on the face of the earth.
My wife was planting one on one of the women from her office.
If I were her, I would have taken that canopy and put it over your head and just, like, dumped it all over you.
First of all, a gangbanger can't see you in the dark as good as my wife because on account of your darkness. My wife, they're going to see. She's going to stand out like...
You know, not only are you an idiot, but you're a racist.
I'm a racist? How am I racist? Tell me you don't blend in. Go ahead. Say it to my face.
To be honest, I do not blend in. I've been called white myself my life, okay?
All right. So you're a mocha mix.
Basically, yeah.
All right. Well, you're a little cream gun.
Yeah, I've been called white.
Okay,
my life,
I bet you if you's walking down the street, let's say you're squatting on a sidewalk urinating and my wife's squatting.
Would you forget that?
My truck is called the Ass Crack, and you want to know
why? You know what? Screw your truck, man.
Hey, you know why it's called the Ass Crack? My wife
peed
in it.
Forget about it.
What you and your homies have done when they saw my wife's white sprout sandwich, I wouldn't want.
Okay. 1-800. Yeah, it's sick. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, you have a sign that says it's a top deal. That's what we're doing.
Jay Santos, Jay of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is joining us right now from out on the road, I guess, Jay. What you guys are doing is doing some mall surveillance today. Now, the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency out of the South Bay in Los Angeles. And you guys are out as a volunteer force.
Yes, Phil, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Citizens Auxiliary Police is we are a volunteer force, but we are out in force to assist the police and sort of keep an eye on what's going on and take a peek over their shoulder. The police, I think at times, probably even they would admit are a little overwhelmed. So we take a peek over their shoulder and make sure that...
But you guys are not police officers.
That's your read, okay?
Well, you guys are not... All right, let me just... You're volunteer police officers, isn't that correct?
We are volunteer police officers, but we do utilize constitutional right of citizen's arrest, if that's what you're asking.
All right, let's get to what's going on now. You're going from mall to mall, checking out the situation with regard to kids Santa Clauses and the security there?
I'll tell you right now, Phil. Stand by. Right, we're over near the Del Amo Mall right now. My son, Justin, and you know Justin, he's only 3 years old.
I do know your son, yeah.
Was watching the evening news the other night. He was sitting with his father, sitting with me, and sitting with his mommy watching the news. And he's young, and he doesn't know what's really going on over the news. But something happened I don't think I'm ever going to forget as long as I'm a father and as long as I am a man who loves his son and a man who loves his country. My son saw a picture of Osama bin Laden on the news. They had shown a picture of him as part of the FBI's ongoing campaign to round up terrorists. And I'll never forget my little boy pointing at the screen when the picture of Osama bin Laden came up, Phil. And I hope you can hear me.
Yes, I can. You're driving and...
We're driving and doing some surveillance. He pointed at the picture of Osama bin Laden, and he said, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. He pointed at Osama and he said, Santa...
Your son looked at the Osama bin Laden picture.
That is correct.
And he thought he was looking at Santa Claus?
That is correct. Phil, I got to...
Wow.
I got to tell you, I could feel my guts turning inside out. The son of a law enforcement officer sees Osama bin Laden and Santa Claus is the same person. I don't know how many millions of kids are doing the same thing right now, but if a three-year-old child mistakes the picture of Osama bin Laden for Santa Claus, I think there are some things we can do as parents. There are some things we can do as the Citizens Auxiliary Police and interested law enforcement to minimize the negative effect that it's going to have on our children. And we are talking about now our children, Phil.
Well, Osama bin Laden, it doesn't look a lot like Santa Claus.
Well, you're an adult, and you see what you see it as an adult. But a child sees the beard, and he sees the man, and he thinks that's Santa Claus. So we have some problems, and we have the problem of the Taliban, which, of course, our country's been fighting. We've got a lot of different problems, and it all goes back to, I think, an area that we can control. As you know, the Taliban wears the beard, and that has represented oppression for a long time. And I think that's what Justin saw. I think that's what my son saw, was the similar...
So you think the beard on Osama bin Laden and the beard on Santa Claus...
I think that's probably what it is. And
well, that's a three-year-old. That's what he's going to do.
That's absolutely right, Phil. But I think there's some things we can do. And what we have done through our substation in Torrance and our substation out in Pasadena is we have put a couple of the malls on notice that what we would like to see, at least for this Christmas, is for the Santa Clauses that they're employing, the individuals they employ with the Santa Claus beard, that they remove the beard. And that they...
Well, that's a broad departure from the look of Santa Claus.
I'm aware of that, Phil, and I don't think that there's anybody more aware of it. I'm a father of a three-year-old boy who very much does believe in Santa Claus, but I don't see any other way of getting around this. What we are asking the malls to do in the various municipalities and substations that we control is to have the Santas take the beard off. I think the beard represents to a lot of people a Taliban. It represents Osama bin Laden. It's certainly, and let me tell you something, the only gifts that Osama's thrown down a chimney usually take off a few limbs. And I do not want my child identifying Osama bin Laden with Santa Claus.
You guys are asking the malls?
Right now we're asking.
You're asking the malls to have their Santa Clauses take off the beards?
Right now we're asking, right. We're giving until Saturday, which we think is a reasonable deadline. We've had two sub-commanders go out to different malls, inform the management there and security there. We want the beards taken off. And we got That's just two calls we're receiving right now where they have gone to the malls.
Your guys are going around the Citizens Auxiliary Police asking the Santa Clauses to take the beards off, which I imagine is going to be left, or met, I should say, with some resistance.
Well, that's the thing. You hope that you don't, as a law enforcement officer, you hope you don't ever get resistance. But if we do get resistance, then that's something we're going to have to deal with.
All right, we're talking with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Your son, your three-year-old son, made the mistake of looking at Osama bin Laden on TV and pointed and said Santa Claus. So you think it's the beard?
We're pretty sure it's the beard, yeah.
So you are having Santa Claus, or at least you're asking malls to have Santa Clauses take the beards off?
For this Christmas only, that's correct.
All right, let's give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Well, first of all, you're not going to get Santa Claus to take the beards off, because Santa Claus is the beard.
Well, we know we're going to meet with some resistance, Phil, but my three-year-old boy is, I think, typical of a lot of kids, and if my son thinks that Osama bin Laden looks like Santa Claus, then I got to tell you, Osama bin Laden looks like Santa Claus. And
what if it's only your son, though, you know?
Nah. I got a 3-year-old boy who's a very intelligent boy. The Santa Claus is for this Christmas only. Need to take the beard off so that there is no mistaking Santa Claus for, in the mind of a child, Phil. In the mind of a child.
I understand.
In the mind of a child. There's no mistaking Osama bin Laden for Santa Claus, so we will have them take the beards off. Our constables right now are checking the Santas going in and out of the malls to earmark which ones could pose a problem. There are a few that are heavy-set individuals and that kind of thing, but they will take the beard off.
Jay, how are you going to get people, men wearing Santa Claus costumes, to take the beard off if they don't want to take it off?
Well, that's a problem law enforcement faces.
Yeah, but how are you going to do this, okay? You're not a duly constituted police force.
Phil, Phil, we are a volunteer police agency. We are empowered to look over the shoulder of police officers.
Yeah, but you're a volunteer guy, and you have a little police department.
It's not a little police department.
All right, but it's a police agency without any real enforcement power. How are you going to get these guys to take their beards off?
We are going to respectfully ask the malls, get the beards off your Santas. We've got a problem. The kids are misidentifying Santa Claus. They think that he looks a bit like a wanted federal terrorist, a federal felon. Now, we cannot take that chance.
But how are you going to get these guys to take off their Santa Claus beards if they don't want to?
If they resist us, then we are going to we're going to have to rock and roll. But I can tell you...
What does that mean, you're going to rock and roll?
It means that we're going to, one way or the other, get the beards off these Santa Claus who are wearing them, because we have got a situation where a wanted felon, wanted by the FBI, $25 million price on his head, looks like Santa Claus to a lot of kids.
Well, so far, we've only been able to identify, Jay, and with all due respect to you and your family, who I know, and they're nice people, it's only your son who pointed at a TV screen and said that that looks like Santa Claus, okay?
My son said it. My son is a 3-year-old child. I don't know what it is you're getting at, but...
I'm saying it was just your son. It wasn't any other kid.
I can tell you right now that if my 3-year-old son says that Osama bin Laden looks like Santa Claus, then every single 3-year-old in the United States of America can possibly make that same mistake. I've got a very typical son. I've got a very healthy... Sherry, let's look at the bigger picture here. When your child starts singing, "I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus," think about your own wife with her lips wrapped around that rug head. And I can tell you...
Well, look at that.
It makes my blood boil.
Okay, well, hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. Taking the beard off of Santa Claus this Christmas season, because he looks too much like Osama bin Laden. This is what Jay Santos and the other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police agency, say they're going to do, whether the Santas like it or not. Let's go over to Dan on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello, yeah, Mr. Santos. Hello, Mr.
Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, buddy? I'm gonna guess that you don't got a dumb kid, okay? I'm gonna give you that. Why don't you just sit your kid down and talk to him? Explain to the kid the difference. Why do we gotta alter our whole image of Santa Claus and Christmas? Because your little boy, you know, his imagination doesn't know what he's looking at. Why don't you have a talk?
Because I don't know whether you know it or not, but we're at war against the Taliban. They wear a beard, which is a restrictive and representative of an oppressive way of life. So I'll tell you what we ought to do, Dan. If you got any kids, which somehow I don't think you do, but if you do, or if you did, you'd probably know the dilemma that I'm up against.
Let me go over here to Lee. Lee, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I have a comment on this gentleman saying that his 3-year-old son looks at Santa Claus and thinks of him as bin Laden. We have been told by our country, by our leader, our president, to live our lives like normal. To disrobe Santa Claus's beard is not living our life like normal.
By the same token, we can't just go into airports with guns, can we? And we can't go into airports with box cutters. We do have to make some changes.
You need to explain to your son that not every man that wears a beard is a terrorist. And we need to keep living our lives like normal.
That's true, but by the same token, why does he have to wear a beard? See what I'm saying?
Santa Claus has a beard.
And that's Osama bin Laden, too.
But if there's any
chance at all that our children are making a mistake between Osama bin Laden and Santa Claus, There's nothing wrong with a clean-shaven Santa. I don't think it changes anything. Let me tell you something, ma'am. Santa Claus is...
Every postcard...
We're talking about Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus already came to town. September the 11th, he came to town. And
no,
I got,
well, you can't say that. That isn't true. That wasn't Santa coming to town.
Santa Claus came to town. 9/11, he came to town. Came a little early.
That's not true. You are making Santa Claus into Bin Laden, not your son.
My son pointed at the screen and said, Santa Claus, Santa Claus. And I'll tell you something else. And the day that our kids point at that screen and see a picture of Osama and go, Jesus,
so Jesus, you sit down and explain to your son. Do you not communicate with your child?
Of course I do, but he's three.
Now,
he only understands do-ba-da-da-ba-da-ba-da. That's
well,
all
that's
he understands.
Your son.
Okay.
There are a lot of three-year-olds out there that look at Santa Claus and love him and don't consider that he's Bin Laden.
I don't know that you can say that, ma'am, until all of the reports are in.
Maybe you need to take a poll of three-year-olds then.
Okay, thank you for your call, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a controversial decision to try to get the beards off of all the Santas in the malls because his son, at least, looked at the TV one night, saw Osama bin Laden on the TV, and pointed at his picture and said, Santa, Santa. A chilling thought for any parent. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I understand, too.
Jay, you said that, and I'm with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, you said your three-year-old saw Osama bin Laden on TV and said, that's Santa Claus?
He pointed the screen, Phil, and said, Santa, Santa.
And we had somebody say, and I would say the same thing, why don't you just explain the difference between Santa Claus and Osama...
Now, Phil, let me explain something to you, because I don't know if you're the father of a young child. Three-year-olds are too stupid to understand, and I say that with great love in my heart, okay? I'm not saying I love my son very much, but a three-year-old is simply too stupid, just flat stupid, to understand the difference between Osama bin Laden and Santa Claus. There's also something else I want to bring up. I think it's a little scary, but I think we have to bring it up. I think every parent has to point to this possibility, that Osama bin Laden understands that he looks like Santa Claus to a lot of American kids and may somehow be trying to infiltrate the country.
No, wait. Hold on, Jay. That's way over...
Phil, I am telling you it's a possibility that Osama bin Laden understands that he has a resemblance to either Santa Claus or Jesus Christ himself and is trying to infiltrate into the minds of the three-year-old, which is too stupid to understand the difference. Now, the next thing you know... you know, the Sheikh Omar is Mrs. Claus, and the Taliban guys with no legs are the elves, or whatever you want to call it. But we've got a problem, and we've got to deal with a problem to the best of our ability.
Jason, and so you're going to be taking beards off of Santa Clauses, whether they like it or not.
We are asking very respectfully.
You said if they didn't take the beard off, you'd rock and roll.
That's my job, a law enforcement officer trying to save lives.
Here is Elena on the Phil Henry Show. Elena, go ahead.
Good evening. First of all, with all my respect, Mr. Fisher, I'm a mother, and I have a two-year-old.
You have a what, ma'am?
I have a two-year-old
all right,
girl.
So you understand. They're too stupid to understand the difference between Santa Claus.
Sir, I'm really sorry that you're talking about your child stupid. My daughter watches the TV, and she's telling me, Mom, this is the President Bush. And she knows who is Santa Claus.
Because he wears a suit.
Please don't interrupt me, sir.
Well,
let me finish my comments because I have a question.
Does your child have a problem? Doesn't understand just between Santa Claus and President Bush? Jesus.
No, sir. You did not. You
That's
did not,
not what
understand
she,
because
the lady didn't
you
say
interrupt
that.
Me.
What'd you say?
I was saying, when my daughter is watches the news and when she sees the President Bush, she recognizes him. When my daughter sees the Osama bin Laden, she said this is the bad person because she cannot pronounce the name.
And she's not pointing at President Bush. So
no, she's pointing Osama bin Laden, sir.
All right.
But
sure.
I have a question to you.
How do you know it's Osama bin Laden, ma'am?
Oh, come
because
on.
Because I'm watching the news with her and I'm explaining
well,
to her
you know
what's
it
happening.
How do you know it isn't one of those tablecloth heads? They all look the same.
No, they don't all look the same.
Sir, I would like to ask you a question, if I may.
Why does your kid hate Santa Claus, ma'am, is the question we want to ask.
Well, you let the lady... You didn't say her son hates Santa Claus. Go ahead, Elena.
Okay, because if
16345.
I have a question.
Go ahead. If Mr.
Santos' son make a mistake and ask if Jesus is Santa Claus, what he's going to say? To take the icons out of the church?
I'm going to say we got a problem. Yes, ma'am. I mean, if children think that Osama looks like Jesus, we got a problem with Jesus Christ.
We don't?
Maybe we got
or maybe
a problem
we
with
do
us.
Have. Or maybe we have a problem with the parents that they don't have time to sit and talk with their kids.
Well, you, Elena, I would never say that you're a bad parent. I think you're a great parent. That's why I say your kid's too stupid. You're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. But your kid is a clown.
My child is not stupid, sir.
Her child knows the difference between President Bush
and Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Duh. One of them's got a beard, the other one doesn't. But what about you guys that have a beard? See, that's
yes.
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Elena. Bush doesn't
no,
have a beard.
No, sir. No, sir. My daughter goes and she knows on the mall who is Santa Claus, and she never said that this is Osama bin Laden or vice versa.
She doesn't say, can I go sit in Osama bin Laden's lap?
No,
well,
sir.
Well, ma'am, you are... you said
I think that you should sit and talk to your son, sir, because I believe that there are so many kids that they know the difference, even though they're 3 years old.
Your son sees bin Laden and says, bad man. My question is, did you do something to your child to traumatize your child into hating Santa Claus?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, no, you
sir.
Said
you know
he pointed
something.
At a
you're
picture
really
of Santa
twisting
Claus.
Something. The only thing I would like to
man.
Say...
No, she did not
like,
say that. She said that he pointed at a picture of Santa Claus and said he was a bad man.
That's what I said.
I mean, no. She pointed at...
See, you pointed at a picture of Santa Claus and said he's a bad man. Is
no, sir, you're confusing
no,
yourself.
She pointed at a picture of Santa Claus. I mean, her son pointed at a picture of bin Laden and said he's a bad man.
That's not what you said originally.
I know!
Exactly, this is what I said, sir. Yes, that was exactly what I said.
You're confusing me.
Mr. Henry, if you're that easily confused, if your listeners are that easily confused, I submit,
oh, sir.
I submit, sir, that you're confusing the public.
I would like to pray to God that we don't have a lot of people like you over
me?
There.
I'm trying to save lives.
People.
I'm trying to
yes.
save lives, and you're trying to tell me?
Yes.
About little tiny kids saying, look, there goes Jesus Christ down the street, and it's some towel head trying to blow up a building? No, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Well, good luck to you,
yeah,
sir, with your
right.
3-year-old.
Elena, thank you for your call.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
1-800-449-8686.
You said, Mr. Henry, that the kid pointed...
I know what I said. I said that the kid pointed at a picture of Santa Claus and said he's a bad man.
Right.
No, he pointed at Osama bin Laden and said that's a picture of a bad man.
Well, which is it, Mr. Henry? You guys in the talk radio...
You know what I said, and you're trying to twist my words around, man. I said the kid saw bin Laden, thought he was a... Wait a minute, her kid... Yeah, her kid said bad man.
And my kid said Santa Claus. And maybe some other kid's going to say Jesus. So in other words, her kid and my kid, we're going on that? What about all the other kids? You want me to go and interview every 3-year-old in America... And take our time, and meanwhile, buildings are blowing up, crop dusters are spreading anthrax, just so I, hey, excuse me, does that look like a good man or a bad man? You boo da ba ga ga ga. That's all a 3-year-old knows. And for that woman to say that she communicates with her child on some level other than that, I think is false and I think is very dishonest. A 3-year-old child can simply look at you and say, that's all they say. And a lot of it sounds very reminiscent of some of that Arab talk that they use.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Does Santa Claus look like bin Laden? We'll be back on The Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Henry.
You're talking about millions of American kids out.
I don't think so. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show. With me is Jay Santos. He is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. My understanding, your rank with them is you are a brigadier sub-admiral, correct?
That's correct.
You're a brigadier sub-admiral with the Citizens.
That's correct, Mr. Henry. We have a command structure that is in place, and it is something that is utilized for us. We don't necessarily need the public to... comment.
All right, well, but let's get back to the, you know, your organization, a volunteer police agency, is going around to malls and telling Santa Clauses to take the beard off.
We are at risk of millions of American children who will make the mistake of seeing Santa Claus and thinking it's Osama bin Laden or seeing Osama bin Laden.
Don't you think that's a little ridiculous? Like someone said, a 3-year-old child could be explained to the difference.
Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to be funny, but about the only person a 3-year-old child could talk to would be Anne Heche. And I think the two of them understand each other very well. I don't know if you read excerpts from her book or if you've seen her on some of the talk programs, but she is definitely one for the books. And my three-year-old son can communicate very well with Ms. Hayes. But beyond that, I don't...
Yeah, you're trying to make some funny jokes here at the expense of a Christmas tradition.
We are not taking Santa Claus away from anyone. We're asking them to take the beard off.
What does Santa Claus look like without a beard? Who is Santa Claus without a beard?
Santa Claus without a beard is Wilford Brimley. He is Marlon Brando. He is he's a heavy set man with gray hair. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I certainly don't think with the Taliban and the threat to our nation being what it is, my kid, you want to see your kid point to Osama bin Laden and say, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, Jerry Garcia, any of these people who are beloved of our society, I don't think so.
Kid's going to point at Osama bin Laden and say, Jerry Garcia.
The late Mr. Garcia's estate, I'm sure, would have something to say about it if you think that it's being frivolous, Mr. Henry.
Yes, I do. 1-800-449-8686. Erica, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Santos, you're pretty ignorant when you say that you're going to telling the Santas to take off their beards. I'm looking at a picture of my son, 3 years old, not stupid. He's seen a picture of bin Laden on the TV. He was afraid of him. He went and seen Santa Claus, and he had no problem sitting on his lap.
Before Osama bin Laden.
No, after this year, holiday season.
But before he saw a picture of Osama bin Laden.
No, this was after he'd seen a picture of bin Laden.
So you actually took your child to see Santa Claus even though you had shown him Osama bin Laden?
No, he's seen it on the news. It's always on. It's coverage all the time.
What is
he
your
had
child?
No, he has a big old cheesy smile, told Santa what he wanted for Christmas.
So maybe ma'am, if your child is at a point in his life where he thinks Osama bin Laden is a good guy,
no, my son's scared to death of him, but he had no problem with Santa.
He sat in his lap.
He had no problem with Santa.
Yeah, he sat you said he's got no problem with Osama bin Laden.
No, he had, no.
Why'd you put him in bin Laden's lap? She put him in Santa Claus's lap.
That's not what the kid said.
But if you,
she
if
just
you
said
take
that
Santa,
she saw the kid.
If you try to take Santa's beard away from Santa and not explain to your child the difference, then your son's going to grow up to be just as ignorant
as you are. Are you aware that the Taliban, you know the Taliban wears beards?
Yes, I know.
Okay,
that a lot of other
you.
People wear beard. My own grandfather wore
then
a beard.
Then how come they're shaving their beards
Taliban?
Off now? How come they're shaving their beards off in Afghanistan?
Because that's their country. That's what's going on over there.
Beard is an evil thing. And I'm saying if a three-year-old child sees the beard as evil...
My son don't see the beard as evil.
Her son doesn't see the beard as evil.
Your son sees everything else as evil. I think
that's
pretty weird.
About bin Laden, not Santa Claus.
Okay, well.
So you think that, Halloween was taken away from the kids pretty much. Why are you going to do that with Christmas?
I didn't take Halloween away from the children other than to say that Halloween was a pretty good time for terrorist assaults.
And in the process, scared everybody to death, okay?
I did not let my child...
You talk to your three-year-old son?
Yeah, I talk to my three-year-old son. Speaks very well for his age.
Large, big words?
Yes, he does. He can talk to me. I can understand him, and he can understand me. Obviously,
and he doesn't say goo-goo-ga-ga and nothing like
no,
that?
No, he doesn't.
Well, okay. Must be one of those freak kids.
My son, maybe you shelter your son too much.
Is he one of those freak kids that's going to go to Oxford when he's like 14?
I hope he can.
Well, see, that's weird.
Sky's limits for him.
Big two-syllable words.
Big two-syllable words.
That's right.
All right, look at Erica, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Look, if the kid isn't afraid of Santa Claus, then he's not afraid of Santa Claus, right?
No. But what if the child is? What if the child thinks that Santa and Osama bin Laden somehow are teamed up or and otherwise are operating together? What if the child...
Oh, will you come on, man. If the kid can sit in the guy's lap and not be worried about it...
That could possibly mean he doesn't mind... Osama bin Laden, or maybe they're brothers.
Yeah, or maybe Jesus is their cousin.
I don't know, Phil. What I'm trying to do is move as quickly as we can to avert something that I think is going to be very, very tragic. Very tragic. And that is the attempted assault of mall Santas by these kids who think it's bin Laden. You got a line of kids, you don't think it's that funny.
Attempted assault?
You heard me.
Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi there, Mr. Santos. I think you totally underestimate your son. If your son knows who Osama bin Laden is, I think he can differentiate between Santa with a little bit of parental guidance.
Well, no, apparently, ma'am, you don't have any children of your own, because this is a common thing that children do. They mistake individuals, thinking one is the other. Millions of kids across this country right now think that Osama bin Laden and Santa Claus look the same.
Well,
and
you,
I think
you
that,
teach your
well, ma'am, I don't need advice from a woman that doesn't have any kids of her own to tell me how to raise my kid. Thank
I
you very
children.
Much. I don't think so. Otherwise,
I,
you'd
I
know
have
that.
Two children.
Oh, really? How old are they?
They're nine. They're twins.
They're nine? They're twins?
Uh-huh.
Where were they born?
In Tampa.
And how many days apart?
How many days
they're
apart?
They're twins.
They were born on the same day.
Just checking. Just trying to catch you.
Well, I was there, so...
Let me ask you a question. Do they look the same?
Yes.
Then they are twins.
Yes, that's what she said. They're twins.
They are twins. That's
all right, well, twins, twins look
born
the same.
The same time,
all right,
same
well,
day.
Twins often look the same.
Right,
they look the same.
Good.
They look the same. Right, okay. Here is Angel on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Angel, hello. Go ahead. Angel, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm calling because I would like to tell Mr. Santos that he is doing nothing but encouraging children to do racial profiling.
That's exactly correct.
And the reason they have on that beard
That's
is
right.
because it is a part of their Muslim faith. And when he is telling children that a beard represents a terrorist, all that does is encourage racial
well,
profiling.
How come the people in Afghanistan are shaving their beard off?
Country.
Why are they shaving the beard? Why are they shaving the beard off?
To celebrate Christmas
well,
and to recognize Santa
I can tell you,
Fox,
Angel,
wonderful
that
legendary part of history.
They're shaving their beard off in Afghanistan, ma'am, because they don't like the beard in Afghanistan because
that
it represents.
That is perfectly fine. They don't
yeah,
like the beard because they were forced to have
That's
the beard.
Right. That's right.
They don't want to look a terrorist.
The beard is something.
They were forced to wear the beard. As
well,
a part of their Islamic law, which
so
is called Sharia.
So if the Ghanistanis don't want to wear no beard, how can we make
so
Santa Claus wear one?
So what does that have to do with Santa Claus? You just sound totally ignorant.
What's it got to
You're
do with Santa Claus? We're making our kids sit
racial profiling, encouraging children to
right.
racial profile. That is so ignorant.
Well, I think if
All
Santa
you're doing is encouraging
we have a right to know
so
if Santa Claus is a Muslim.
So if a child with a beard, they're going to say, oh, that's a terrorist, I'm a killer?
So in other words, we don't have a right to know if Santa Claus is Muslim. Is that it?
I'm sorry, what?
We don't have the right to know if Santa Claus is Muslim.
Look, you're not even making any sense. You're totally ignorant with what you're saying. What I am saying is that you are encouraging children to racial profile over a beard.
I'll tell you, I bet you Mrs.
How stupid is that?
I'll bet you Mrs. Claus makes Santa Claus wear a beard, if you know
oh,
what I mean.
You know what? This is, like, totally ignorant. You're making no sense whatsoever. You're jumping from one point to another, and you're
no,
not
you know,
speaking to the facts.
No, I'm talking to the facts.
If you knew anything about Afghanistan, you would know they wear that beard.
Have you ever been to Afghanistan?
Because something called Sharia, which is Islamic law.
So now you're saying that Santa believes in Allah.
If they cut it off, that is their choice.
No, they cut it off because they don't want Santa Claus to believe in Allah.
No, I don't think so. You need to learn a little bit more about Islamic law and something called Sharia
well
and
read.
Why they grow that beard.
I went on
the
internet.
Come on
the
radio and talk, but until then, you need to just shut up and become more educated about the facts.
I went
and
on the internet.
Santa
I found out.
Rangers.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are
what?
The men
What'd you call me?
Skill and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
So now Santa Claus believes in Allah. Sure.
Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
There you have it. Another Christmas classic on The Phil Henry Show. We'd like you to visit The Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. That's PHILHENDRIE show.com for a backstage pass, our souvenir shop, and our Best of The Phil Henry Show 2002 CD, World Famous.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm sorry, the man is a nut. He is talking Christian. He is not talking the same Christian that the Bible is talking, because if he was, he would know a lot better what was going on.
What about
Muslim? He's talking Christian. He's talking Muslim.
Yes, Muslim.
Not the same thing, baby, and it's certainly not the same Christian I am.
No, Muslim sex and Christian sex are similar, though, in that it is done with an egg timer.
You know what? You and your egg timer need to get a life. You are an insecure, over-the-top, idiot who makes $27,000 a year and you want a woman to go to bed with you wrapped in plastic wrap? Give me a break.
Ma'am, I'm getting on my feet. But again, I am a pure and clean and respectful man.
You know what? Who wants you? Nobody wants that pure and that clean. You and your gasoline solvents? Give me a break. Gasoline solvents? You know what? You're calling it Christian, and I don't know what kind of Christian religion you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking
but you're
about
not talking
basic...
about. No. Wait a minute, baby. Wait a minute. You're not talking about belief in Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of His blood that was shed on the cross.
It's amazing.
And you know, you're so far out in left field that you have no idea what good sex is, and nobody's going to marry you. Because you're crazy.
May I say something now, Mr. Henry?
No.
Go ahead. No, I'm going to let him say something, Gloria. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I think Christians should have sex as if Jesus himself were holding the video camera.
And you know what? That's what my husband and I do about three times a week. And we're 50 years old. And we have...
As if Jesus were holding the
naked,
camera?
A naked, sweaty... good time as if Jesus were in the room, because the way I look at it and the way my Bible says it, anything that a married man and woman do together in the sanctity of their marriage bed is okay with Jesus.
If you look at Mark 3, verse 6 through 10, thou shalt not see the face of the attendant. What that means is, a woman's face
that
is covered with a sheath, that you're covered with
intended,
a sheath, and
that
only
means
a hole.
The engaged woman, not the married woman, fruitcake.
Right. No. How do you know? Oh, all of a sudden you're also a preacher, too. Boy, you just got it all going on, don't
you? But you are?
Yes, I am.
And now he's a preacher. Oh, wonderful.
Okay. Luke 5, verse 2 and 3, thou shalt not be on thy hands and knees in the presence of Jesus. Now, that means, not a supplication, that means the rear entry of the...
Oh, come on! There's nothing in the Bible about that.
Give me a break!
Give you a break? You're the one who said she wouldn't mind grunting and sweating if Jesus was working the lights, holding the camera, and flopping.
Not with my husband, honey, because in the Bible it says, in the marriage bed, anything goes.
We're out. Okay, thank you very much, Gloria.
You're gutless, Mr. Henry. You're hanging up on a pure, freshly clean... scrubbed up man like me.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
And now it's Chester Shunt, and let's fix something around this place. All right. Hello, everybody. Well, here it is.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon.
That's right. You know, it's better to get that afternoon delight after you've been able to fix some things around the house. You sure don't want to bounce your wife off the headboard if you've got some springs that aren't working right or anything like that, because next thing you know, both of you, butt up and bare naked and everything on the floor. You don't want that. So we're going to try to fix something around this place here on the Chester Shunt Program. Rubbing sticks and stones together. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I can't go to rubbing my wife until I get some things fixed around here. She says to me, Chester, when are we going to have some time for ourselves? I says, I got to fix that toilet, because every time I'm popping you up and down off that mattress, I can hear that water running in there, and that costs money. So let's talk about now how you can fix that toilet. You know, if you got a runny toilet, it wastes anywhere from 30 to 60 gallons of water a day. I can't keep my mind on business. I can't keep a good rhythm going, you know, just boom, 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 when I'm thinking about that toilet running there in the bathroom. So what I'm going to do today is teach you how to fix something called, are you ready? It's called a ball cock. That's right. Go ahead. Get it out. Laugh away. Come on. Let's grow up. You want to laugh? That's exactly what it's called, a ball cock. And this is that little rubber ball there along that piece of metal length of pipe that regulates the flow of the water. So today I'm going to show you how to replace the ball cock there on the toilet. And here we go. Now, you're going to see here I've got a length of pipe. I'm going to try to saw this off at a length where I can work with it, because you don't want too much. You can't fit it in the tank. You don't want too little. Otherwise, it's not going to float there with that rubber ball at the end. Make sure you've shut your water off. And let's get that length of pipe right here. And I'll fire on the saw right now. All right. fine. Well, how about that? I cut my hand off, but that's all right. It's okay. All right, my left hand is missing, and you want to go ahead and pick that up, Shorty, okay?
I'm right here.
Good boy. He's great. All right, so I've lost my left hand, and that's something you want to keep your mind on, of course, where your body parts are in relation to the arc welder or the saw or those things. But that's okay. That doesn't keep us from fixing that ball cock, does it? Now, we've got that pipe cut to the right length. Now, we're going to want to weld that over to a piece of metal that we're going to drop down into the tank. So let me get my arc welder here. We'll fire that one up, Shorty. Put my hand in the cooler. You can put my hand in the cooler there, right. Put my hand in the cooler with some ice. Shorty, put my hand in the cooler. All right. Fire up the arc welder. Here we go. Look at that. Now okay, so my foot, that's the left foot I lost, because what happened was I had my foot up on the saw trying to position the arc welder, and I turned the saw on instead. But that's all right. That's all right, because I got the arc welder going, and that's been able to weld that piece of metal together. So we're doing fine. I'm missing a hand and a leg, or part of the leg. So you want to go ahead and put that in the cooler there with the hand. Put that in the cooler with the hand. Shorty, put it in the cooler. All right, now here comes the part. The ball cock, of course, is a rubber ball at the end of that long length of pipe. You want to put that ball cock on. Now, what we'll do is establish a perimeter so that we make sure it's not too big for the tank, and we make sure that ball is floating free in the water, which, of course, regulates the water. And here we go. Now, I'm going to saw off just a little bit of pipe so that we've got enough room there in the tank. Look at that, okay? See what I did, okay? I sawed off my penis. Now, look at that. It's on the floor, the blood and everything. Huh? But that's all right. That's okay. You know, we're going to run out of space in the cooler, Shorty. Why don't you go out there in the kitchen and get another one? Get the small one, right? Put the penis in the cooler. Put my penis in the cooler. All right. Well, we had a little bit of a problem today. It's just a flesh wound. Don't worry about that. I sawed off my hand and my foot and my penis. And that, of course, is going to make for a very interesting afternoon with my wife. I find out I got the headboard fixed, but I have no male genitalia with which to consummate the act. So join us next week. Now, we've got all that running water is taken care of, but what are you going to do if you've got a plugged-up pipe there, right? Next week, we're going to show you how to snake that toilet with all those tampons. Find my baby, gonna hold her.
And now, Phil Hendry.
And you're really proud of this piece of work, right?
Oh, we're very proud of it, yes.
All right, I want to talk with Dean Wheeler. He's with an artistic, it's an artist co-op in Northern California, and he has won the Northern California Religious Tolerance Foundation Award for Courage in Artistic Statement. And you've done a piece called Jesus Dinner?
Jesus Dinner, Phil, is perhaps my seminal piece at this time. I work mostly in multimedia, but this is a still life that is done from kind of a fluid still life done from a variety of media.
All right, this is in the middle of Newton Park in Novato, California. You erected a manger scene. Now, let me ask you something. Are you hoping for funding from the NEA?
Well, not only am I hoping for funding from the National Endowment for the Arts, but I expect to get it. Because this is the seminal piece in my career. This is a piece that I think brings together all the influences of my career in a very fluid and very unifying way.
Tell me about Jesus Dinner.
I'd be happy to, Phil. It is a manger scene with a twist, and that's how we advertise it. A manger scene with a twist. There is a manger scene with the baby Jesus sitting in a microwave. He's not in a manger. He's not in swaddling clothes. It's the naked Jesus in a microwave. Standing around him is Mary and the animals in this manger scene. And through the roof of the manger is an unexploded U.S. bomb. It says product of the United States. And the nose of the bomb is pointed directly at the microwave in which sits Jesus. Now, the modern Afghan family doesn't live much different from the way people lived 2,000 years ago. So what we wanted to do is tie in the United States military strikes in Afghanistan with the Christmas theme of Jesus. Many Afghan families live in stables and in caves, and so in order to tie that in, we thought we would show an American bomb landing in an Afghan home, and it just happens to be...
just happens to be the place where Jesus is being born.
Just happens to be the place where Jesus is being born. The thought is, what if one of our bombs blew up Jesus? What if right now in Afghanistan, Jesus is being born somewhere, or another Jesus is being born somewhere? One of our bombs could blow away any chance for a second coming. And I think that's something for people to think about. I think it's something for us to sit down and quietly contemplate. And that's why we call Jesus Dinner a meditation piece. You're invited to come and to sit and to meditate on the possibility of Jesus being blown to bits while he is being cooked in a microwave. We're very proud of the piece because we do feel it states very intrinsically the religious value, I think, of modern life and how it can be debased and completely shrunk to the level of dinner, and at the same time, the military attacks in Afghanistan.
All right, well, obviously this is going to be a controversial piece.
Oh, it's a courageous piece. I have made my career on being a courageous artist. I do believe in courage in art. And I make no bones about it. I will not be muzzled. I will not be told that I can't do something. I'm a courageous artist. I state my mind, and I state what's on my mind. And
let me ask you, not to interrupt you, Dean, what does you got a sign, "Don't turn Jesus into hamburger"?
Well, that is correct.
And you have hamburger meat strewn around the manger and around Mary?
Yes. That comment on what Mary and the baby would look like if the bomb had hit the manger has drawn a great deal of criticism, but as an artist, I'm used to it. And I, you know, a lot of people would try to intimidate me from saying what I want to say.
And then you have Joseph decapitated with his head stuck on a tiki torch. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Why a tiki... I don't understand.
Well, the tiki torch represents modern suburban American life. And so what we're saying with Jesus Dinner is that Jesus is figuratively being cooked by the American military strikes in Afghanistan, and Joseph is being sacrificed on the tiki torch of American suburban excess. And with the hamburger meat strewn around, we're reminding people that it's just one short step from Mary being the Mother of God to something you could put in a bun. And that's kind of where I go with that. I'm very courageous. I say what I want to say, and I know it shocks a lot of people, but that is, we're living in a world gone lost. We must connect war with the most sacred religious event, and Jesus Dinner, I think, slaps the face of America with reality. We need to be slapped across the face. That's what I do with my art. I walk up to people, I open my hand, and I slap them right across the face. And it's what they need.
All right, but you said, Dean, you're getting an NEA grant.
Well, we've applied for one. And I feel this is such an important work and such an important statement to a very lost world. It's part of the... We have Joseph and Mary and Jesus, I think, in the way that they ought to be depicted in the midst of this Afghan war.
But the NEA, you have applied for a grant from the NEA.
That is correct.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. He's with the Northern California Artists Co-op, and he's won an award, Courage and Artistic Statement, for a manger scene that he's done called Jesus Dinner. Jesus is in a microwave, Joseph's head's on a tiki torch, there's hamburger meat strewn about, and there's a bomb that's going through the roof of the manger. This is extremely offensive to religious people.
Well, I think they need to be just cuffed right across the face with the right kind of slap. I'm an artist. I'm a serious artist, and I make serious statement about art. And so it takes an artist like me to walk up to Mr. and Mrs. America and saying, why don't you get out of your television room? Why don't you leave your billiard room? And why don't you just face reality that you could be turning Jesus into meatloaf with our attacks in Afghanistan? And
no, but the reason why I say what I say is because I don't see the taxpayers standing still for a grant for you from the NEA. What are you hoping to achieve with an NEA grant?
Well, what we're going to get, Phil, is a travel grant for exhibiting Jesus Dinner. and a generous per diem for myself and my girlfriend who travels with me, and it does act as my muse.
And by muse, what do you mean?
She's my inspiration. She helps with erecting the pieces. I sleep late because I only work at night, and so she, for the most part, has gone out working. She works as a waitress, but with the per diem grant, she won't have to work as many hours.
But I'm saying to you, the people of the United States are not going to want to give you this.
Well, if the NEA doesn't give me you mean not giving me the money?
Yeah, no, the American taxpayer is not going to want to approve.
Well,
what are you laughing at?
Well, that's inconceivable. The American taxpayer must give me the grant for Jesus Dinner, because if they don't, it will prove the cowardice of the present government and the cowardly ways of our government continues to harass artists such as myself, and I think it will prove how bankrupt our policies in Afghanistan are. Any person with real religion should applaud my effort at showing them what's really in their hearts with Jesus Dinner, and that is the desire of most Americans to take Jesus, Joseph, and Mary and cook them in an oven at an even 350 degrees. I mean, that's what the American war effort's doing.
Well, you know what? I'm not even going to debate with you the American war effort.
Well, please don't, Mr. Henry, because I'm very equipped to debate, certainly with a talk show host.
All right, I'll take that to mean whatever. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to debate the war effort. I just would say to you, I doubt very much if the NEA is going to give you a grant to exhibit Jesus Dinner, a manger scene that shows a bomb going through the roof of the manger, Jesus sitting in a microwave, and Joseph's head stuck on a tiki torch.
Well, they may not want to, but they're going to have to, because I'm a very courageous artist. I say a lot of things that need to be said. I think I'm very unique. And I need this money because, as I said to you before, my girlfriend has been supporting us with her waitress job, and we're ready now to step up to a level that I think is more. We want to step up to a Jackson Pollock level, to an Andy Warhol level. I think that my work is every bit as important as Pollock's or Warhol's. In fact, better in many ways. David Hockney, I think, has said it very clearly. Art in America today needs to be supported. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm right here. I'm just taking in what you're saying. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler. He's an artist. He has created Jesus Dinner. And it contains images that I would think a lot of people who are of religious mind might find offensive. Jesus in a microwave, hamburger meat everywhere, a bomb coming through the manger. But what he said, I think, that struck me the most was that he expects a grant from the NEA, which would provide money for exhibiting Jesus Dinner across the country, and a generous, and I'm quoting him, a generous per diem. And if he doesn't get it, it proves how bankrupt our policies in Afghanistan are. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Now, the installation costs for such an exhibit could be very expensive. And among some of the things that he's demanding from the NEA is assistance to spread the hamburger meat. The head of Joseph has to be re-speared. Jesus needs to be slightly baked. There's an incredible expense, and this should not come out of his pocket, but from the pocket of the NEA. And that means your pocket. 1-800-449-8686. Hamburger meat. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, Dean Wheeler is with us. He's an artist. When you say you're an artist, do you have any formal training as an artist?
Well, I don't really believe in formal training as an artist. I think as a child, I would put things together. I worked in different mediums and paints and things. I just throw things together, and it comes out artistically. I like that. I don't believe in the sort of fascist ways that art teachers behave and make people do things that they don't want to do. I do what I want to do. I think people need to understand that, you know, we must realize in this time of pain that art is the only thing that will heal, and art must be funded. So I demand tax dollars so that I can exhibit Jesus Dinner, because it's really good. I'm very proud of
You're very proud that Jesus is in a microwave, and
and the head on the tiki torch. That's really.
Why do you need funding to help spread the hamburger meat?
We just need people to assist us and say, I guess you don't know much about art, do you, Mr. Henry?
Well, maybe I don't, but why do you need funding so that you get assistance to help set up the peace, Jesus dinner?
That is correct. We need people to help us set up the hamburger meat and to spread the head on the torch because I can't tire myself out. I have to sit and I have to supervise how they do it. I sit in a chair and I say, no. Move the torch to the left and more meat. More meat. That's if there's one thing that I just can't get through anybody's head is I need more hamburger meat. It what I think is it affects the modality and motif.
The modality and motif. All right, 1-800-449-8686 with Dean Wheeler. He is the artist who created Jesus Dinner. It shows a bomb going through the manger and Jesus sitting in a microwave, among other things. Here is Danny on the Phil Henry Show. Danny?
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
I just want to ask this fellow a question. Do you believe in God?
God is an interesting concept, Danny. I don't know. I sit and I think, is that God in the sense of a guy in a suit with a beard, or is it God in the sense of a more of a flowing energy? I believe in energy. I've worshipped energy for years. I worship my own energy. What I believe, Danny, is if there is a God, I think I am God. I think you could be God, and it's all of our energy.
Okay. Let me ask, why are you depicting Jesus in this thing you call art that you're doing? Why are you depicting Jesus if you believe that you could be God?
Well, I believe I could be God, but Jesus, is he God, or is he just another piece of meat to go into the microwave? You know, it's an interesting concept. Jesus is worshipped by people, and I believe he was a man of peace, but we say with Jesus Dinner, he's not just a man of peace, he is a man in pieces because of the bomb and the hamburger. You see what I'm saying, Danny?
No, actually,
you understand? You see where I'm going? See, I'm
no, I don't,
I'm
not
an,
at all.
I'm an artist. I'm an artist, and I think in symbolic terms. We have to realize that Jesus could be with us today if it wasn't for war.
Well, okay. I just want to say
it reflects
that,
society, and if we're dropping bombs in Afghanistan, we could be blowing up another Jesus.
Well, okay.
There might be one being born in Kandahar right now, and we just and now he's just hamburger meat, and it could have been pretty good for us.
You think that there could be another Jesus being born in Kandahar, Afghanistan, right now, but an American bomb would blow him up?
Yeah, blow him up and spread him all over the place.
What you're doing is blasphemy. What you're doing is extreme blasphemy.
That's great. Are you willing to donate to the exhibit?
Well, are you listening what the man's saying?
What did you say, Danny?
No, what he is doing, if I could just please speak.
Yeah, no, go ahead. What did you say about
what you're doing is blasphemy.
Yeah,
this is
okay.
Extreme blasphemy.
Are you interested?
And any person, no, I just shut up.
Well, I just want to know.
I am not interested in giving you one red cent.
Danny, please watch your language.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. He shouldn't censor you like that, Danny. You should be allowed to use that word.
No.
No, he's wrong.
I am no type of person to say
your thing.
I don't believe
in censoring people. I think you ought to be able to say.
Don't say the word, please, okay?
Okay, I won't say the word no more.
Look at that,
okay.
Danny. Look at Mr. Henry is keeping both you and me from expressing ourselves.
And you're deterring the subject.
I'm doing what?
You're deterring the subject of what I'm trying to say.
What's that mean?
You are keeping him off the subject.
Oh. Right. Well,
okay, I hope to God above that you don't get a dime of money.
Danny, you
and I want to know. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever worked a day in your life? Have you ever actually sat down and worked 40-hour week?
Well, work is a relative term.
Okay, relative term. You are one lazy person. I want you to know that.
Lazy? I worked all summer on Jesus Dinner.
And it's a blasphemous act.
I don't know what you mean by blasphemous. I like to think of it as very religious. I think it worships God.
Religious? You've got Jesus,
yes.
Baby Jesus in a microwave,
well, what's
Joseph's
wrong with
head
that?
On a stick,
well,
a bomb sitting there in a house.
Right. Well, don't you think that God would appreciate that?
No, I do not. Not at all.
I think that God in his own way would love to be cooked.
Yeah, whatever.
What are you talking about, man? Look, you may be an artist.
Oh, it's over your head, huh?
No, you are no such a thing as an artist.
Well,
you
Danny,
are a backstreet alley person that doesn't
you.
Know a thing.
Danny,
Well, wait a minute. Both of you guys aren't artists. I am. I pour my heart into Jesus Dinner. Maybe next summer.
Yeah, you poured your heart into blasphemy.
I'm thinking of doing Jesus Dessert next summer as a statement after the fact. What happens to Jesus after he becomes a meal? do we have him for dessert?
Jesus,
you see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see
what you're saying. Oh, man. Okay, look, I'm not an artist. Danny's not an artist. We don't know about these worlds that you talk about.
Well, that's right. So the both of you should just learn at my feet, listen to what I'm saying.
Learn at your feet?
Yes, because I have much to teach the world, Danny,
and
so
think you are?
I have so much to teach the world, I fear that I'll be dead within the next 2 years.
This is bad to say, but it'd do the world a justice not to have you in here,
well,
if this is the way you honestly believe.
Well, that's very cruel of you, but perhaps it's true as well. Maybe the best thing that I could do is just to shoot myself. I'm thinking of doing that as a performance art piece. I'm going to blow my brains out in Newton Park.
Wait. Have you been to a psychiatrist? You sound like you're... Are you just saying stuff to say stuff?
I believe he is.
Saying stuff to say... People go to church every Sunday praying for Jesus to enter them.
And
well,
you need
Jesus,
to be there right at altar, babe.
With Jesus dinner, you can now have Jesus inside of you. After we...
Oh, come on. We're talking about a spiritual thing here. What are you talking about having him inside?
Well, if he's meatloaf, I...
Okay.
Okay, that's... I've heard enough of this.
No, okay, Danny, are you interested in donating to our foundation?
No, sir, I most certainly am not.
Do you need any extra work, or do you need any other people who know any people
I wouldn't
who need
work. I wouldn't work for you if you paid me
well, we need someone to spread the Jesus meat around...
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not even a religious guy, but what you're saying is bound to make people crazy, and...
No, that's all right. They're entitled
to this real good subject...
After we... Look, they're entitled to their opinion. I'm just saying you must give me the tax money... Because I must be allowed to show Jesus dinner to illuminate other communities.
If you never get to show this work of art that you call it,
what?
It would be a great
you
thing
must
if
you see,
never got to show
Danny,
it.
I think you especially, because I feel I've come to know you in the time we've been speaking, I think you especially would appreciate Jesus dinner.
And you talk about slapping people in the face. If I was with you,
that.
I would slap you in the face personally.
Well, then I'd slap you back, and we'd have a performance art piece, wouldn't we?
Oh,
we'd be slapping
I'm going to
right,
go.
Okay.
I'm getting tired of hearing
thank
this.
You very much.
Where are you
thank
going?
You,
no, you can't go.
Oh, yes, I can, too.
No, you cannot. I need money for my tour. And
hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler and his Jesus dinner.
I need money. Funding. Funding.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, otherwise, Guinevere would have to get an abortion. And
all right, we're back on the air here, Dean. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler is an artist who's created something called Jesus Dinner, a manger scene where a bomb is coming through the roof of the manger and Jesus, the baby Jesus, is in a microwave. Hamburger meat strewn around, Joseph's head is on a tiki torch. Now, what do you mean your girlfriend will have to get an abortion if you don't get an NEA grant?
Well, the NEA grant will help me exhibit Jesus Dinner and will give me a $500 to $1,000 a day per diem. And then we can live free of the hassle of having to work out there with, you know, the rest of you people. And
The rest of us people, huh?
Well, I don't mean anything, but...
Let's get back to this comment. Otherwise, Guinevere has to get an abortion.
Well, she's 6 months pregnant, and if I don't get the grant, there's no way we'll be able to afford a child.
So you'll have her get an abortion if you don't get your NEA grant.
That's right. And that's something I didn't want to really say, but I would say this to everyone listening to your program right now. If I don't get the grant to exhibit Jesus Dinner and show, you know, Joseph's head on a tiki torch or on a stick, then we have to cut the child out of Guinevere, and I'd hate to do that. That just would be kind of sad.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know...
Look, I know you don't get my world, okay? You sort of live out there with the bourgeois. Me, I'm a free spirit. I'm not a part of the bourgeois world.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dean's looking for an NEA grant so he can tour. That's the National Endowment for the Arts, which is tax money.
That's correct. It is tax money.
Hold, let me finish. Which is tax money that would allow you to show your exhibit. Donna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
I sense your hostility.
I just
well, I am hostile.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Donna.
I
but the host of the program is very hostile toward me, and I'm an artist.
you're not going to get people who aren't hostile towards you because you're asking for money for everyone else to take care of your life when you should be taking care of your own.
I am. I created Jesus Dinner to show you.
You also created a baby that you're making everybody else feel responsible for, which is not our problem.
Well,
it's yours, and get in the real world. This is the real world.
You must give me money for Jesus Dinner.
I must not give you money for Jesus. If you want to create,
you
need to create and be an artist in a very different way. What you're doing is extremely offensive, and you're never going to get anything.
Ah, but that's what art does, Donna. It slaps you across your face.
Art does not always slap you across the face. There are some very talented artists who are very creative and get their point across without being...
Yes, but they're not courageous like me.
If you were so courageous, you wouldn't be demanding money from people to take care of your life. You're telling the whole world that if you don't get this money from the NEA grant or from the people, that you're going to have your girlfriend have an abortion. You call that being responsible?
Well, she'd have to because there's I can't share my space with
half the population of the world can't afford their children, and they don't get abortions, sir.
Look at Donna, you sound like a nice person, but it sounds like you probably need to have my art slap you across your face.
This show with you on it has slapped me across the face.
Well,
you are totally...
What do you mean when you're slapping people across the face? You've used that term a lot.
I know. What is that?
Well, I'm sensing from the people that call your program that they're bourgeoisie. They're very pedestrian. They have their interesting little lives, I guess. I don't know what they do. They need Jesus Dinner to help them to digest, if you will, Jesus. Are you a Christian?
Need Jesus in our lives, not in the particular manner that you are trying to.
Are you a Christian?
I am.
Has Jesus worked his way through you?
I'm breathing. I'm living. I have a job.
Right.
I have children.
Eat,
yes, he has. I'm very fortunate.
I can guarantee.
I think we all are.
If you eat Jesus, he will work his way through you, right through your colon.
All right.
That's ridiculous.
Well, Donna, I would love to.
And so you want to sit there and do nothing and have the rest of it. I work every day for a living.
My girlfriend,
Guinevere,
right now.
Why don't you be an artist as a part-time job and go get another job so you can have your baby?
My artistic expression needs all the time of my day. I was working on another piece called Blue Plate Jesus, and slapping my girlfriend gave me the inspiration because I slapped her, and I said, oh, that's what I need to do. To people.
Okay, with that remark there,
Wait a minute. You said you hit your girlfriend?
Yeah, well, I slapped her because she'd come home late. She was working at the Copper Penny as a waitress, and I told her to come home at 11 with my dinner, and she came home at 11:30, and I was angry.
And you slapped your girlfriend?
I slapped her across the face, but Donna, what came of that slap was the realization that I needed to slap you and Phil and everybody that I met.
Honey,
dinner,
can
Jesus dinner,
to you?
Jesus dessert. And eventually, Jesus Latrine, which we're going to be working on in the summer of 2003.
Well, I don't want to be mean to you, and I really do have to go.
I need
but I'm going to say two things to you.
Slap your girlfriend. And what do you mean, Jesus Latrine?
Yeah, what the heck is that?
When you... Never mind.
All right, Donna, thank you for your call. Let me go over to... I think I know what that means now.
I like to slap. Slapping is great expression. It's artistic. And when my girlfriend comes to the door, I go, hi, and I... just cuff her right across the face, and it frees me. It frees me artistically.
It's called abuse, pal.
I don't know. You don't hang those labels on me. I don't live in your world.
You live in my world, man, when you want my money. Darlene, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello. It's been very interesting.
Yes.
Obviously, great variances in views here. My view happens to be that I think this guy's a fruitcake. I think that there's an insane asylum somewhere that could use your artistic ability. I'm sure the walls could be painted.
When you start giving your tax money, when you give your tax money to me for my Jesus dinner, I can't hear her.
This one stands for this. This one stands for this, and expect a grant to do so.
Well, I want you to give me your money.
I find this ridiculous.
I want you to give me your money, Darlene, because
I don't want to give you my money.
We lost her. 1-800-449-8686. Sam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Sam?
Yeah,
go
I'm
ahead.
On the line.
Go ahead.
Where'd you find this guy? This guy's a trip. First of all, it's an outright desecration. I don't believe
I'm not hung up on
but
those
anyone,
terms, okay? I don't get hung up on those terms.
Anyone that does
Anyone that does would know that Jesus, the Son of God, will find his way to earth if he's resurrected, and no bomb will find him if that's what is intended
but
to
you
happen.
Don't, but you don't believe in him. Yeah. Okay.
What's that?
But
well,
you don't
I believe in other things.
Well,
by the way,
believe in this. What I'm going to be doing with Jesus.
All right. Is everybody going to talk over top of everybody here, or are we giving speeches?
Dean,
okay.
Hold on.
No, Sam, you hold on.
Okay.
And Dean,
I'll
you
hold
and
on.
Dean, you hold.
Speak your mind.
And Dean, you hold on. This is the host
right.
now. Okay.
Oh, so you're telling Sam and I what to do?
Yes, I'm telling you
that.
And Sam what to do. Okay.
Sam, he's telling you what to do. Are you that?
That's fine with me. Go ahead.
Are you someone's bitch? I mean,
wait a second, all right?
Hold your words.
No, I'm just saying, Sam, that, look, I'll take over for you, Phil. Sam, what Jesus dinner will do for you...
Nothing.
...is, I can't even begin to tell you. When you get kicked right into the balls with this, because it's going to do that, it's going to rock your world, I think you're going to enjoy it, maybe for the first time in your life. So what I need is $500 a day per diem... And grant money to help us
That's
tour
wishful
the Jesus
thinking.
Dinner, okay?
Okay, hold your thought for
a
second.
And what
Dean.
We're going to do with the Jesus dinner is then use that money so that I can, you know, my girlfriend can cut down on her hours at Copper Penny. All right?
So you can beat her up some more.
Well, I slap her only to show her how much I love her.
You're an abuser.
And, well, I don't get hung up on those bourgeois terms. I slap
you slap her because you slap her, okay? You slap her because you don't like her. You slap her because you wanted to bring home your dinner from Copper Penny.
Well, you guys don't get it. I'm an artist, and I don't live in your world.
You don't live in my world, huh?
No, I don't. I live in my world.
Well, where's that?
Well, right now I'm living in Boyle Heights, but...
Okay, man. Good luck. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, buddy. My name's Bill Nafsman. And welcome back to our special Christmas holiday music. Going to give a weather right now. I'm in California. I don't know where you are. I'm in California. But it's going to be a sunny day tomorrow. But right now, I guess what you most care about, I'll find out. What's the weather? Okay. You're listening to K-J-A-A-A? Oh, there's only two A's. Right now, the weather's, well, it's dark. That's about all I can say about it. Okay, more... Christmas melodies for your holiday season on KJA. There's two A's? KJAA. I thought there was four A's, but that would make a KJAAA, and that's impossible according to federal communication guidelines. Okay, here's a great song I want to play for you. Well, I can't find it, so I'll play it in a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I got it right now. Here we go.
KJAA Hitbound with Bob Heverly.
Bob Heverly here. Hitbound. Steamroller. Steamheim Man Roller. Then on KJAA. Okay, yeah, Steamroller and Walking in a Winter Wonder. Hallelujah. We'll be right back in just a minute.
KJAA and the entire Lettuce Belt welcomes you to Christmas, Christmas in the Lettuce Belt. Bring the family, only $3 at the Barnes & Noble Rodeo, 555 East Leamington. That's the Barnes & Noble Rodeo, 555 East Leamington, sponsored by KJAA and all of our partners.
As we go along, walking in.
Okay, I'm Bob Heavenly, and this card says, tell a Christmas story. Okay. I didn't know that I was going to come into work today. The guy supposed to do this shift is sick, and they called me because I'm the next person that's supposed to work this shift. So, having a good Christmas, are you good? And I remember one Christmas when I was a boy, and this is the meaning of Christmas for me. I'm going to...
KJAA, Lettuceville.
We'll conspire as we dream by the fire.
Okay, bye-bye, 22 minutes, half an hour. I'm Bill Heavenly. Ooh, boy. Well, probably I have a couple phone calls here from people saying, is there something wrong with me? No, I just working really hard today. I'm wrapping Christmas. No, I wasn't wrapping. I was unwrapping Christmas presents. I wrapped them last night. So I'm going to unwrap them today. Okay, here's a good Christmas story. When I was a little kid, I came downstairs and I saw my father, and he was putting his pants on.
KJAA Christmas Stories. If you have a favorite Christmas story, send it to KJAA Lettuceville. Post Office Box 4 at the corner of Dooley and Gnarly in Lettuceville.
That's right. You have a Christmas story? And here's one right now.
My name is Margaret Brown. I live in Lettuceville. And my husband...
There's something wrong with her. Try again.
My name is Margaret Brown. I live in Lettuceville. My husband, Harley, died 3 years ago today, putting up Christmas lights. He had just put the elk and the reindeer on our front lawn when he fell from the roof and was impaled on the elk horns. I'd like to just say, Merry Christmas, Harvey, wherever you are. I suspect it's hell. I really do. But even though you lived a very unprincipled and immoral life, you were a tremendous lover, terrific in bed. Even though I know I won't see you when I go to heaven because I was the one that saved the money and lived a pristine life. But, Harvey, thank you for a good life. I know you're cooking slowly down there with Satan. But thank you and Merry Christmas, darling.
KJAA Christmas Stories. If you have a particularly heartfelt Christmas story, send it to us, KJAA, Lettuceville. Now back to Bob Heverly.
Oh, me? Okay. All right. That's great. Did you know that my aunt makes the best eggnog? God. Am I dead? Oh, it's a song. I thought...
Ring, are you listening in the lane?
Bob Heverly is fired.
A beautiful song.
Yay, well, have a happy Christmas. Come up next is Casey Kasem on the number one station for Christmas music. Hey, J.A.A.
Now, Phil Hendry. There you have it. Another Christmas classic on The Phil Hendry Show. We'd like you to visit The Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. That's PHILHENDRIE show.com for a backstage pass, our souvenir shop, and our Best of The Phil Hendry Show 2002 CD, World Famous.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.